In the name of Jesus, amen. 43 days ago, on Easter, Jesus was raised from the dead. Last Thursday, Jesus ascended and disappeared into a cloud. So for 40 days, the disciples ate with him, they touched him, they talked to him. They saw his nail-scarred hands and feet, the gash of the spear in his side. The evidence was rock solid, no question about it. This is the same Jesus who hung dead on a cross, and he's alive and well. Jesus called them to make disciples of all the nations by baptizing and teaching. To speak to the world the good news that sin is atoned for, that death is conquered, that the law is fulfilled in his death and resurrection. So now what? Time to organize a church body, draft some mission statements, hold a district convention? No. They wait. They go to Jerusalem and they don't do anything until they are clothed with power from on high. Wait for the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. Don't try this on your own. You will fail. Wait on the Lord. And so they waited. 120 or so disciples and 11 apostles waited in Jerusalem. That was the entirety of the Holy Christian Apostolic Church. How were they going to disciple the nations and bring the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth? There was no synodical bureaucracy. They had no publishing house. They had no TV or radio station. How were 120 believers and their 11 pastors going to carry the good news of Jesus' resurrection to those who so desperately needed to hear it? Was it time to panic because they didn't know? Maybe they should borrow from the busy business world or the slick political world. Maybe even the military. They all seem to know how to get the job done. Maybe they should come up with some missional ideas or intentional tricks to get the word out. Organize things, appoint tax task forces, have some meetings about having meetings. No. 131 or so people simply waited in prayer. And that's the secret to the church's survival. That's why the church has survived 2,000 years of wars and dictators and persecutions and heresies and popes and councils and synodical and district conventions and, yes, even voters' meetings. Occasionally, though, congregations do die, and so do synods, and so do whole church bodies. But the church, the one holy Christian and apostolic church, never dies, no matter what. The Roman Empire tried to wipe it out. Communism tried to shut it down. Islam tries to subject it by the sword, but the church goes on. And it survives for one simple reason. The Lord provides. Holy Scripture shows three ways today that our Lord Christ provides for his church. First, he supplies her with pastors, authorized preachers and teachers who carry on the work of the apostles. Second, he gives his church the word and the sacraments by which the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of Christ's redeeming death. And third, he prays for his church. That first congregation already had a vacancy. Judas was dead. A sad end to his betrayal. So something had to be done. An office doesn't work without someone in the office. a president dies, someone has to take his office. When a pastor leaves a congregation, the office remains and it has to be filled. So what were they going to do? They didn't have any instructions from Jesus. They didn't have any bylaws to consult. They didn't have a district president to guide them. So to their credit, they recognized that life is unscripted. So they chose two men who had been with them from Jesus' baptism up until the time he ascended back to his throne. And then they prayed, and they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. The Lord had the last word. The Lord provided. It's a 50-50 chance that the lot would fall to Matthias. Could have gone to Joseph Barsabbas. And God our Father would have worked through him too. But the lot falls to Matthias. The Lord gets the last word. That's something that we forget about all too often today. We try to anticipate every detail, every turn, every possibility. So nominating committees demand a very particular set of skills. Call committees have a long list of expectations and demands. Usually it's a pastor who's 30 years old, who has 30 years of experience, who can energize the youth and comfort the aged, and has a wife who can play the organ. The Lord will provide, but do we trust Him? The first congregation recognized that the risen Jesus was running the show. Not them, but Jesus. When they needed a man to round out the 12, the Lord provided. And then when the apostles died, mostly as martyrs, Jesus provided others, and he multiplied their office. And he continues to call and ordain men today. Yes, he uses congregations and seminaries and call lists and call committees, but in the end, it is the Lord's congregation. It is his church. It is his ministry, and he provides. Our Lord Jesus provides his church with the tools for the work. What are the tools for discipling the nations? How will you confront an unbelieving and dying and sinful and evil world? How will you, the chosen disciples of Jesus, survive being in the world, yet not being of the world? What tools do you bring to that task? St. John names three of them in the verse just before our epistle reading today: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These are the three witnesses to Jesus' saving work, and they still testify today. The Spirit, who descended on Jesus at his baptism, whom Jesus breathed onto his disciples, who was poured out on the whole church at Pentecost. The Spirit of truth, who speaks through the Word and into your ears the truth of your sin and the greater truth of your salvation in Jesus' death, working faith in your hearts. Then the waters of baptism, by which Jesus was revealed to be the Savior of the world, the water that flowed from his side, pierced by the spear. The water of your baptism, by which you were buried with Christ in his death and raised to new life in him. The blood that stained the wood of the cross, the blood of the sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world, the blood that comes to you in the chalice of the supper. These three testify as one that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and your Savior. The spirited word, the water, and the blood. It's all you need to have a church. Don't need a building. Don't need a constitution. Don't need a church body. And gasp, you don't even need a voters' assembly. All you need is the word and the water and the blood, and believers gathered to receive them. These are what the church is today. These are Jesus' gifts to you, with the invitation to listen, to take and eat, to take and drink. No, the church isn't your creation. It isn't yours to preserve. The one holy Christian and apostolic church is born and lives out of the water and the blood from dead Jesus' side. Just like Eve was made from the side of sleeping Adam and joined to him in marriage. The Lord will provide the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And third, our Lord Jesus prays for his church. St. John writes Jesus' prayer, the prayer that the Lord prays as your high priest. He prays for his church. Your prayers are important. His prayer is essential. The prayer of Jesus, crucified, risen, and reigning, sustains the church. Without it, we have no chance. And so he prays that we would be protected by his name, the name into which you and I were baptized and covered with Christ. Because Jesus knows the danger of being in the world, but not of the world. Because you are marked men and women. You bear the sign of the Holy Cross on your forehead and upon your heart, and the world hates it. Jesus knows that, and so he prays that you would be protected by the power of the name of God. He knows the evil one. He knows the devil and all of his tricks, because he went toe to toe with him in the wilderness, and he knows what you're up against. Jesus knows that you cannot defeat the devil. So he's given you his word. He's given you a pulpit. He's given you a preacher. He's given you a reliable record written in Holy Scripture. And his word reveals the truth. The truth that you are a sinner through and through. Even your noblest and highest works are covered in Adam's dirty fingerprints. And his word reveals the one who is the truth, who wiped out your sin in his death on Good Friday. You are holy, not in yourselves, but in Jesus. And for that, you have his word. And that word stands against your sin. That word stands against the devil. That word stands against the world and your own flesh. That word stands against the law with all of its commandments. And that word stands even against your death. You are holy, perfected, and pure in the death of Jesus. And that's the secret to the church's success. The mystery of what has kept the church alive all these centuries, and what has kept our congregation going for the last 119 years. Jesus' ministry, his word, his baptism, his supper, his prayer. The Lord will provide. He always has, and he always will. Amen.